Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. We're broadcasting to you in the Edmond, Oklahoma area at 101.3 FM and online at kpcg.fm. And it's really a lovely day here in Edmond. It rained quite a lot this morning, so we definitely needed that and have appreciated that very much. Some of my friends were joking with me this morning that I should sell advertising space on this show, but that's kind of the enjoyment that we get from this radio station, is that there are no ads. You might have a 30-second or minute-long basically teaser for a church book or booklet, but other than that, we are not cluttered by 7 or 8 minute advertising breaks. You can just listen to this station all day long and not have to hear that kind of bombardment. Well, have you ever made a decision and taken action only to wonder later what you were thinking? We can probably all relate to this, whether it involves reckless spending, poor health habits, wrong priorities, procrastination, whatever it might be. Maybe at the time we think that we're making the right decision, or maybe we know we're making the wrong decision and we just can't seem to stop ourselves from doing that. Well, even the Apostle Paul could relate to this. Romans 7 talks all about that. Basically, Paul is lamenting that he's having this mental struggle so regularly. Romans 7 verse 15 says, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I." And then verses 18 through 19, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do." And then down in verse 24 of Romans 7, Paul says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" So often we know what's right, yet do the total opposite. And that even applied to the Apostle Paul. After being struck blind and humiliated, and God having to turn him away from his prior occupation of persecuting true Christians, he still struggled with this. God knocked him down and humbled him and made sure that Paul converted to the right way of life. But even after that, he was still struggling. And why was that? Well, today we're going to cover the Philadelphia Church of God booklet, Human Nature, What Is It? And this was written by Mr. Stephen Fleury. That is the reason for all of this, human nature. There is a paradox, the ultimate paradox in the entire world today is the human mind. We can do so many great things, including walking on the moon, which we just recently celebrated the 50th anniversary of. And, you know, even just the fact that I drove over here today, or the fact that my words are going out to you on this radio broadcast. Human beings invented these things, and it's incredible to think about. And yet, why can't we solve human evils like war, violence, crime, immorality, addiction, the threat of annihilation of all human life because of nuclear weapons? Why is it that the more and more advanced we get scientifically, technologically, educationally, the more and more in danger we are of wiping out all human life from the planet? The answer, human nature. Jeremiah 17 verse 9 states, "The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" And then Mr. Fleury writes on page one here of the booklet, all of the evils plaguing society today can be blamed on the deceitful, wicked human nature in man. There's a lot of deception about this subject and a lot of confusion. For example, if the devil exists, did God really create a devil? Why would a perfect God create such an evil being? Why would a perfect God create human beings who carry out violent atrocities against one another? Well, the truth about that is that God didn't create any of us this way. He did not create the archangel Lucifer to rebel. Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14 show that God created Lucifer as a perfect archangel. All angels were created perfect by fiat. So that means basically God created angels with no flaws whatsoever. Basically, with the snap of the fingers, they were created perfect. They're spirit beings, they're invisible, and they only just need to make one choice to forever set their character. So whether they make that choice to obey God or to rebel against God, that choice is then permanent. And what's more, they can't die. So Lucifer, when he rebelled and took a third of the angels with him, that was permanent. They are permanently evil and they're miserable. They can't change back now. God created Lucifer with incredible power, gave him authority over a third of the angels, which were all stationed on earth. They were to prove themselves on the earth and then go out into the universe, but they failed. Lucifer had incredible talents with music. He was exceedingly beautiful, and this got to him. He became vain. And he became actually so delusional that he thought he could overthrow God from the throne of the universe. Lucifer became evil by his own decision. God did not create him that way. Lucifer became evil through false reasoning. And this false reasoning led to his rebellion. So then God later, millions of years later, most likely created human beings. How did they become evil or have the capacity for evil like we see in the world all around us today? Well, you can see this in the book of Genesis right there at the beginning, what happened. God created Adam and Eve, and he gave them every advantage. He instructed them how to live the right way of life. But then he also had to let human beings make a choice. He wasn't going to force human beings to obey him. He had to let us choose. So, in order for human beings to make a fair choice, to have all the information they needed, Satan was allowed to approach Adam and Eve. He made a pitch to Eve. Here on page 4 of the Human Nature What Is It booklet, Mr. Stephen Fleury writes, the Bible reveals that man was created perfect without an evil nature. But that perfect creation was also incomplete spiritually. So just like the angels, human beings were also created perfect. However, humans are very different from the angels because we can die, we can make mistakes by making wrong choices and still change back to following God. Once the angels made the wrong decision, they could not fix that. And they don't want to anyway. So Satan got to Eve, and Eve basically convinced Adam to follow her. Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong, the late theologian and educator, wrote in his book Mystery of the Ages, what then is the function of the human spirit? It is not a soul, but one. It imparts the power of intellect, of thinking, and of mind power to the human brain. And two, it is the very means God has instilled, making possible a personal relationship between human man and divine God. The human spirit is really the only thing that makes humans different from the animals. That is how Satan was able to interact with Eve. That's how Eve was able to understand Satan's deceptive case. And Satan lied to her, convinced her that his way would be more profitable to her than God's way. If Satan had been trying to talk to a cow about that, the cow wouldn't have given any response. The cow doesn't understand words or language like that. It doesn't have the ability to think and reason and come to a conclusion. But human beings do. That's how Satan got to Eve. That's how Satan deceived Eve. And then Adam wasn't deceived, but he just followed along. In his book, The Missing Dimension in Sex, Mr. Armstrong wrote, "Why all this violence, this immorality? Here is the cause. Human nature, which is vanity, without any purpose and absence of parental training and discipline. There is no sense of purpose today. We are told we must adjust to living in a world of problems with no solutions. Nuclear war, the erasure of human life from the earth, appears to be just around the corner, liable to strike us any second. Human nature is the basic cause of all violence, war, crime, all our troubles in this present evil world. This is what happened because of Adam and Eve's wrong decision." They had endless opportunities available to them if they would have just obeyed God, if they would have just chosen the tree of life instead of the tree of death. But they didn't. That is the reason for so much suffering in this world. So it's really important to figure out here exactly what happened to the human mind once Adam and Eve made this wrong choice. Genesis 3 verse 7 points out that their eyes were opened. Mr. Stephen Fleury writes here on page 8 of the booklet, "There was a mind change. The spirit of rebellion had entered into their minds or hearts. Again, this rebellious evil nature was not there prior to the temptation. But neither did they have their minds filled with the Spirit of God. That's why they needed the tree of life. Satan acquired his sinful, evil nature through false reasoning. But Adam and Eve received their evil nature directly from Satan. That's why it's also accurate to call human nature Satan's nature. Satan invented this perversion of mind and just passed it on to human beings." Continuing here on page 8, Mr. Fleury is describing how Mr. Armstrong found out about Satan's ability to broadcast and influence human minds. Once modern forms of communication like this radio broadcast right now, or like the use of electricity became available, Mr. Armstrong was able to understand how Satan operates. Here's what it says in Ephesians 2 verse 2. "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience." And then Mr. Fleury says that, and that he's paraphrasing what Mr. Armstrong always taught, that Satan broadcasts his attitude to mankind like a television signal transmits over the airwaves directly to the TV sets. That is how Satan got to Eve, through her human spirit. Satan caused Eve to doubt God. After that doubt, she then started to believe that God was being unfair, that God was trying to hide the full truth from her. And Adam just basically went right along with that. But what about the rest of us? We weren't all there at the Garden of Eden when this wrong choice was made. How do the rest of us acquire this human nature? Every person alive today, all 7 billion plus, has human nature. But we know that mental perversion is not genetic. When human beings decide to input all kinds of filth into their minds, pornography, violence, things like that, this is not immediately just passed on through reproduction. So how come humans are so susceptible to evil pulls if it's not a genetic condition? If it's not been passed down genetically from Adam and Eve to the rest of us? Well, page 10 says, we have seen that Lucifer acquired his evil nature through false reasoning. Eve acquired it through Satan. Adam, though he wasn't deceived, likewise acquired his evil nature through false reasoning under the influence of Satan. And today, we live in a world where everyone has acquired this evil human nature, not from heredity, not from the environment, but directly from Satan the devil. Revelation 12, verse 9 says that Satan was cast out into this earth. He's confined here now, and he deceives the whole world. That even includes traditional Christianity. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4 says that Satan has blinded all mankind. The world didn't inherit an evil nature. It was actually caused by Satan. Satan has actually influenced each one of us individually from the time we're probably just a couple months old. You can figure that out pretty quickly if you're a parent. There's a certain type of cry from a newborn child that genuinely indicates a need, changing a diaper, being fed, needing to go to sleep. And after a while, you can tell that some of those cries start to have a little bit more of a bite to them. And there's a little bit more of an attitude behind it. That's because Satan is so effective at broadcasting into human minds, he even gets to babies who can't hardly even think for themselves yet. They're not able to think and reason quite like the rest of us who have been around longer, and yet they are still completely susceptible to Satan's broadcast. And then page 11 says here, as Mr. Armstrong often said, that which has become habitual and therefore natural becomes a nature within us. In other words, we weren't created with this evil human nature, but we've all had it since we were a couple months old. We've all had it from our earliest days, basically. And since we've had it 99.9% of our entire lives, it does become a nature within us. It does become our natural way. It does become the way that we are naturally pulled away from God. Obviously, there are different levels of evil. Not all of us are going to be committing murder and all of the most abusive forms of sin. We're not going to be terrorizing our fellow human beings necessarily, but we all have this attitude of vanity and self-centeredness. This is the root of why Satan became the wicked being he is. We all have that type of mentality to fight against. Here, page 11 makes an important distinction. So remember, Jeremiah 17:9 says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Mr. Flurry writes here, yet Genesis shows Adam and Eve to be good and obedient prior to the temptation by Satan. So when there are verses in the Bible that describe the evil, sinful nature of carnal-minded man, they are speaking of a human mind that has been deceived by Satan, like Eve, a mind that has Satan's nature, a human being without God's knowledge, who has been swayed and deceived by Satan's nature, is one who is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Again, we were not created this way, but this is the way Satan influences us to think. Our pre-Satan mindset would make us innocent, pure, obedient, peaceful, happy, and content. This is almost certainly how Adam and Eve felt all the time until Satan injected his way of thinking into their minds. Mr. Armstrong gave a wonderful, accurate definition of human nature in his book, The Missing Dimension in Sex. Human nature is, simply, the subconscious pull of a definite attitude of mind. It is the attitude that became Satan's. It is the natural attitude implanted from infancy by the invisible Satan. It is the attitude of vanity, of self-concern, of lust and greed. It is the attitude of hostility to others and resentment of authority over it. Doesn't that definition encapsulate it nicely? That's what human nature is. It's hostile to all things God, as Romans 8, verse 7 points out. And even once we're converted, like I mentioned about the Apostle Paul, we still must struggle. Thankfully, though, we have the Holy Spirit to help us go against that. As I mentioned earlier, the human nature in all of us is actually Satan's nature. We can see human nature in worldly Christianity. They preach that God's law is done away, that Christ came to the earth the first time to abolish the law. But the Bible shows that the law is holy and just and good. Christ came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it, to actually show how to keep not just the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law too. That's in Matthew 5. Sin is the breaking of the law. 1 John 3, verse 4. What law? The Ten Commandments. Satan is lawless. Satan has a government problem. And you can see that government problem in traditional Christianity. The mentality of traditional Christians is that it's impossible for humans to keep God's law perfectly, so it's pointless to even try. Imagine if we applied the same reasonings to man's laws. Millions of people have committed horrible crimes and ended up in prison, thus proving that it is difficult for them to keep the law. Should the solution be to abolish all laws and allow anarchy to ruin our lives? Should there really be no standards and laws to govern human conduct? Should we really do away with all punishment for broken laws? If you think human laws serve a purpose, even if some of these laws are nonsensical, what about God's law? His law is perfect, fair, and good. It is the way to eternal peace and joy. Take a look at the Ten Commandments. Which one of them can you honestly say would ever hurt any of us in even the tiniest of ways? Does putting God first harm you? What about removing distractions, lust, and vices that separate you from God? Is it really so dreadful to uphold a certain standard of speech? Is the Sabbath a burden? Or is it a much-needed weekly rest from our regular activities and a chance to connect with our Creator? When has a child ever suffered from showing respect for his parents? Obviously, murder is wrong. So is adultery, stealing, lying, and coveting the possessions of others. And yet, Satan has convinced billions of so-called Christians that the Ten Commandments are no longer binding today, that we should all conduct ourselves according to our conscience. But wait, isn't the human heart desperately wicked and deceitful? Don't millions of people murder their unborn babies, make gods of their career or other physical pursuits, defraud others of vital personal information, and ruin their marriages by cheating? All with a clear conscience? Sure, some feel guilty when they do these things, but others see nothing wrong with their behavior at all. This is proof that morality must not be subjective. You and I have no right to determine for ourselves what is right or wrong. Our Creator has given us an instruction manual for how to live, the Holy Bible. Have you ever wondered why the Bible is regularly scorned and mocked by so many people today? Because Satan hates God. Satan has deceived the whole world. Satan hates you. He wants you to destroy your life. He doesn't want you to find solutions to all your problems and the problems of all mankind simply by searching the scriptures. Satan has a government problem. He has twice attempted to overthrow God. He convinces human beings to follow his example of rebellion. All of the evils prevalent in society reflect Satan's nature. In politics, we see incentivized illegal border crossings, joblessness, single motherhood, abortion. And these are just brazen appeals to lawlessness, laziness, immorality, and neglecting personal responsibility. There are constant lies in politics. Satan is the master broadcaster of all lies. He is the cause of moral depravity and the denigration of human character. He is behind the breakdown of family because he hates family and he knows that family is a picture of our future. Now, of course, God will give all mankind a chance to repent and follow him when the time is right. But right now, it is clear that the vast majority of all humans are deceived and suffocating in sin. They are enslaved to their human nature, which is really Satan's nature. We all must fight these pulls. God's church today is a major contrast to this evil world. You can look on pcg.church and see all kinds of news about personal appearance campaigns, a concert series, spokesman clubs, congregational activities, fundraisers, college and academy graduations, the cultural foundation, connection to Israel, and much more. And there's a lot of helpful articles about how to live. And all of this is focused on give. It's God's way of life in action. So many PCG resources unlock the way to following God right now, even as the entire world around us suffers the murderous effects of human nature. We can use God's Holy Spirit to fight back against human nature and win. Thanks for listening today. I'll be back on the air on Monday at 11:30 a.m. Central Time on Behind the Work with proof of God's one true work. You need to know where this work is so you can support God's warning message and give people a living hope. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Trumpet Bookshelf.
You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.